Hello and welcome to the True Blue LA podcast. Am I still calling it the True Blue LA podcast? There's more. We've multiplied.
Yeah. Funny you should bring that up. I actually forgot to. We were going to talk about what to call this episode, this weekly, the normal.
Before I hit record, you wanted to do that? Too late. We're doing it live.
No. I completely forgot. But yeah, so as of now, it's the normal True Blue LA podcast. No, we'll figure out a name at some point. But yeah, so we have a new podcast. We'll talk about it. But I was distracted because we're doing a rare record during a game right now.
Yeah, it feels like we do like one or two of these a year.
Yeah, but I think this might be like the second in like the last couple weeks or something, or like two or three weeks. But it's weird.
Not that we would disseminate the contents of this game. So
no, that's we don't have express written consent. We have implied oral consent, but we don't have express written consent, so we can't do it.
Well, we're going to talk about what our least favorite part of Pennsylvania. We're going to catch you up on the week past. We have some questions from Craig, all that after this.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to the soon-to-be-named longer version of the podcast. So is this going to be instead of one of these new morning shows, or is this going to be in addition to, Eric?
No, yeah, this will be its own thing. Well, here's the sort of... Is this a selling point? I don't know. It's a thing. It's all in the same bucket, right? So if you're already subscribed to us, you don't have to do anything extra. It's all going to come to the same podcast feed. We're going to have a morning episode Monday through Friday, so five episodes a week, plus this episode, which is once a week whenever we do it. So, you know, and as we've seen occasionally, we might do an emergency episode, like if the Dodgers sign a former MVP for a six-year contract or something like that. But yeah, this is the normal, like the sort of the standard weekly podcast, different kind of things, but we're going to try some different stuff with the morning podcast. Those are more quick hitters, some reaction stuff. We moved the Dodgers Rewind into the mornings. So we're going to experiment a little bit and figure out what works. We're going to take your suggestions. A couple people have already sent some good notes on that. Probably going to do a few more Q&As, some mailbag stuff. But yeah, that's where we're at. So we started this week, Monday through Friday, leading off with True Blue LA is what we're calling the morning episodes. This is still to be determined. The walk off with True Blue LA. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But yeah, we have a new podcast, but it's the same podcast, just different.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
And I'll be around for at least one of them a week.
Yeah. And I would imagine depending on what we do, some stuff we can plan in advance, you know, not to go too far behind the scenes, but it's not like every episode is going to be recorded and then immediately sent out. Some of them are like we're recording this on a Wednesday. The Wednesday morning one that went out, I recorded like after the game on Tuesday night, which was a late thing. But yeah, that was a short one. But yeah, we're in the early stages of that. We'll figure it out. And hopefully it's going to be more listening enjoyment for you.
What has not been...
I'm just saying, Jay. Sorry.
What has not been watching enjoyment the past couple of days has been Dodgers baseball.
So the Pirates seem to me like they're a pretty good team. They look formidable. They keep hitting home runs. They take early leads.
Playing great defense.
Yeah, exactly. And then
they have a closer who can pitch half a game.
It's been oh, that's right. Yeah. David Bednar the other night threw, he gave up the lead and then in the eighth, and then Craig Kimbrell gave up the lead in the ninth, and then Bednar stayed in. He threw 50 pitches in two innings and basically withstood like every possible jam at the end. But good stuff. But it's funny because so the Dodgers, like, just we're recording this June 1st. The Dodgers had a really good May. They were 20-9. I was looking at this. So obviously April was truncated. And the Dodgers were 13-7 in April. They lost seven games to the rescheduling, the first week of the season getting lopped off. So it's not 1-1, but you could see where, like, you can't assume, right, they were going to win all seven games. So I don't think it's right to say to just not give or not just to give them the benefit of the doubt for April. But counting April as a full month, the Dodgers in the last four baseball months, they've won 20 games three times. So, like, if you just look over a season, 6 months, so that's, you know, if you win 20 games every month, you're a 120 win team and you're the best team ever. So obviously it's harder to do that over a full year. We know this. This is not news. I'm just pointing out that 20 wins in a month is really good. It was the best record in the National League. During the month, they widened their division lead. They ahead by three games at the end of the month, so they were good. However, in that 20-9 record, the Dodgers they played all of their games this year against the Phillies in May. They played all but one against the Pirates in May. They were 4-8 against the Pennsylvania teams, and they were 16-1 against everybody else. So, given how both the Phillies and Pirates are playing generally, the Dodgers won't have to worry about facing them in the playoffs. I think that's been the biggest surprise,
is outside of the last inning of the series in Dodger Stadium and outside of the series in Philadelphia, both the Pirates and the Phillies have played like juggernauts.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And obviously some of that you attributed to Dodgers playing poorly, but a lot of it just feels like up until maybe the fifth inning of Wednesday's game, which may be going on right now, I don't know. The Pirates just looked flawless. They just kept executing on every facet of the game.
Tecupita de Marcano used to be he was a Padre last year, was sent over in the Adam Frazier trade. He had zero home runs entering the series, and he hit one home run on Monday, and he hit another one on Tuesday. The Pirates led 4-0 in both games. So, however, in fairness to this, right, so the Dodgers, again, very strong month. They ended it with those two losses to the Pirates. Maybe they were distracted. Maybe everyone in Major League Baseball was distracted. Now, you know, it's not like a bias thing, right? Like, every team should have been distracted by what happened over the weekend and since then. But I think given that the Dodgers had an old friend, if you will, involved in the kerfuffle, let's call it. I just want to ask you when did you first hear of the Tommy Pham, Jock Peterson fantasy football kerfuffle?
I saw a tweet when the players were identified that it was Jock and
so
Pham.
Pretty early, like on Friday. It was on Friday
prior to the word fantasy football being attached to it.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. I guess one of the best parts about this story is the sort of trickle of information, yet also, like, I don't know if it's like an entire fire tank's worth of water, fire truck's worth of water, but it's somehow like dripping out at a very constant pace, and it just keeps coming and keeps coming because seems like there's another layer to it every single day. I guess just we'll get into the details, but okay, so we're 5 days later now. There's more details that have come out about it. I'll get into the details in a second, but do you have a favorite part of the story so far?
I think just it's in general how it's come out so slowly and just little bit by little bit, and it just keeps getting wild and wilder. I would say the hardest I laughed was probably the first post-game presser with Jock Peterson.
So, there was a point in that one. I guess that was on Friday. So, just a backstory here. It came out, I guess, a few days later that it was fantasy football related and more. Just want to point that out. So keep in mind now, Peterson is on the Giants. Tommy Pham is on the Reds. This was stemming from something last year when Peterson was on the Braves, and two teams removed, although just a year, from the Dodgers. And Pham was on the Padres. This like a fantasy football thing from last season. Tommy Pham was mad about how Jock used injured reserve to stash a player who was, I think, inactive or something. I haven't played fantasy football in forever. It seems like from what I've read of this, by the letter of the law, it seems like they followed like the ESPN guidelines, but the way Pham told it is that, It seems like he thought Peterson was being a little aggressive, right? And like in sort of exploiting the injury reserve for that. So whatever, that's something. However, when you take a step back, you're like, it's just a fantasy football league. But then you realize this is like a fantasy football league with a bunch of like millionaires in baseball. And the buy-in for the fantasy league was $10,000. And then there was another the last place team had to pay an extra $10,000 if you finish last. So, Pham was mad about that. This is what Tommy Pham told, I believe, on Saturday after the suspension was announced. So Pham got suspended by Major League Baseball for 3 games. It was basically that entire series against. He didn't play Friday. The suspension came down Saturday. It counted Friday's missed game as part of the suspension. You're right. Like the best part about this is just generally how it's come out, but also both sides' willingness to just talk and keep talking, like just keep adding to it. But this is from C. Trent Rosecrans at The Athletic on Saturday. Tommy Pham told him, I looked at it like he was fucking with my money along with the disrespect. Now, the disrespect comes into the sort of Dodgers Padres rivalry part. So at some point, and this was on this second pregame session, I guess, like the next day, I want to say Saturday, where Jock brought receipts, as the kids say, and he had his phone and he showed the GIF that he put to the group text. There was 3 weightlifters. This has been shared around since then. With labels. One is Giants, one's Dodgers, and the other's Padres. They're on like a sort of a makeshift podium, lifting a huge weight. The Dodgers and the Giants get their weights up, and then the Padres one, the weight, like they collapse under the weight, which is basically an allusion to last year's total collapse by the Padres. And as you might imagine, Pham was... he was angry about that, and he held it with him for a long time. And he basically said, he told him he was going to like slap him next time he saw him. And then he slapped him. So before we get into the extra part that sort of came today, my favorite part of the whole thing, I think, is more understated. It was also that first Peterson post game press conference where he's like, first of all, Jock has the most deadpan delivery ever. He's basically going over like the entire like fantasy football rules, and like very intricate details, but just delivering it like he's like a court stenographer or something, you know, like just absolutely incredible detail, but like no emotion whatsoever, and it's just really funny. But then, sort of, they were asking him, like, what I think it was John Shea of the San Francisco Chronicle asked him, where were you hit on the cheek? And then Peterson kind of cracked at that point, and he just started laughing. And he's like, yeah, like, you know, just so, yep, on the cheek. And then, like, it was just like this little funny moment of levity. And, like, it's so absurd, right? I mean, obviously, like, you know, getting slapped, not cool. Obviously, that's one thing, but it's just like, it just seems it just like a hilarious thing generally. Out, you know, the slap, not cool. Everything else about it, pretty cool. Like Jock just took it, you know, didn't escalate. It didn't really, nothing really happened after that. The video came out. Oh, that was another underrated thing. What was it? The video was by a local Cincinnati radio station, The Big Jab. It was the name, which is just how perfect is it? Like, yeah, everything about this is just ridiculous. But so, but I texted you like on Saturday because it was like trickling out then. And I said, we're going to get like a new detail every day until we record our podcast just to make it more exciting. And it kind of happened that way. And I didn't expect that, but it was just really funny. But today, or I guess Tuesday, Pham like opened up a little more about it because okay, so there's a couple things about this. So it seems like every interview with Pham, he like very pointedly says like, and I, you know, I didn't, or he said, Jock Peterson only gave this one side of the story. I didn't like that. You could tell that's just him like sort of laying down like Tommy Pham's law, it sounds like, you know? And, it's just really funny. And then, but then talking about the fantasy football league in itself, I guess Mike Trout was the commissioner. And so Mike Trout, not involved at all in any of this. And then Tommy Pham just goes, Trout did a terrible job. And this is also from, oh, this is from an Andy McCullough article. This is actually in both Andy McCullough's article and C. Trent. I believe that it was with Reds reporters. So C. Trent, Rosecrans had it. But Trout did a terrible job, man. Trout's the worst commissioner in fantasy sports because he allowed a lot of shit to go on and could have solved it all. So that, this is all happening Tuesday. The Angels go to Yankee Stadium to start a series, or I guess to they're in Yankee Stadium, and they had already scheduled like a Mike Trout press conference because I guess, you know, it's Mike Trout, it's in New York. They generally try to plan that stuff ahead of time to, you know, sort of get all those reporters like some sort of access to him. And this happened before the fantasy football stuff came out. So of course everyone today wanted to talk about fantasy football, and Trout's like, oh God. So he didn't really want to talk about it. Andy McCullough wrote about this, but, and then eventually he just kind of did a little bit. But the best part is like how you talk about how Jock was like, just like solemnly, like telling the tale of like the fantasy football rules and stuff. But Trout eventually said, this is the quote from Trout or one of them, Tommy, everybody who was involved in that is very passionate about fantasy football. A lot of people put their hearts into it. I do too. I lost that league. I haven't seen the video of this. I read that as he lost it as a commissioner, like he let it get away. But on second reading, I realized it could have been that he just lost, like he didn't finish first, you know. But like, it's funnier the other way, obviously. But it seems like there's something new every day on this, and so I love it. And there's no Dodgers involved other than the fact that it, you know, Jock's a former Dodger, but it's hilarious. So look, if any team goes on a long losing streak, they're probably just all laughing about the Jock fam thing. And they're wondering like, okay, we don't want to if we have the Reds coming up, don't text Tommy Pham or to piss him off or something like that. So, you know, that's sort of the rule, but yeah, it's one of the most bizarre stories I've ever seen. It's one of the funnier stories I've ever seen, and good stuff. I love it.
Getting back to real news for a little bit before you quiz me with some sort of, I'm guessing, Tommy Pham related trivia question. And maybe. By guessing, I mean, I'm not guessing because I looked ahead.
Yeah.
But we have some injury updates, I think, and yeah, mostly good news, I think, coming up.
For the most part, before I get into the injury updates, because I mentioned the Dodgers had a very strong May, the strongest person in May for the Dodgers was Mookie Betts. He scored 31 runs. He hit 12 home runs in the month. He has 15 home runs on the season. He leads the National League with 15 home runs. Do you know who ranks second on the Dodgers right now in home runs entering Wednesday?
Edwin Rios?
It is Edwin Rios. Nice. See,
I see I got the trivia question right early. This is great. There's no more trivia today.
That's
Mark it down as a success.
I will say the order I came up with these questions, this was first, and it was not related to the fact that the next one I'm going to ask you is it's ridiculously hard. so like it just sort of happened organically, but that's good times. Anyway, that's where we're at.
Okay, and jury update.
Okay, so
give me some good news here.
The reason Rios has been getting more playing time, a part of it at least, not all of it, because he started to get more playing time when the Dodgers stopped. They had like seven straight games against lefties, and he didn't really start. But Max Muncy was not hitting, and then sort of aggravated his left elbow on a play against the netting in Washington, and then he went on the injured list last week. It sounds like that's going to take like a couple weeks. It probably just sort of a chance to reset. They talked about Cody Bellinger. We're recording this again on Wednesday. He's missed all three games. I guess he's technically available as a pinch hitter. My guess is he's not going to play in this game at all.
I will. He has not to give any details, but I believe he's playing center field right now.
Oh, they brought him in.
I think Kevin Pillar got taken out.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. Well, I stand corrected, but he didn't start. but correct. Yeah, so the theory was before the game that he's going to start the first game against the Mets on Thursday. So, but yeah, he's missed three games in a row. But so outside of that, the Dodgers position player wise have been like mostly healthy all year. So Muncy is the first one to go on the injury list. The injuries have all been on the pitching side. You know, we talked about that last week, sort of the pitching crunch, and we sort of prefaced ahead of time that the planned reduction to 13-pitcher maximum, 13-pitcher limit, I guess, was supposed to go into effect Monday, although we said they could very well agree to extend it, which they did. It's three more weeks of that 14 pitchers, so there's that. But then also the Dodgers, two sort of starting pitchers who are hurt, Andrew Heaney and Clayton Kershaw. There's like Heaney's supposed to start a rehab assignment in Oklahoma City. Now, he hasn't pitched since mid-April. Kershaw pitched in early May. So his rehab assignment is TBD. I mean, in terms of location, it's probably going to be this weekend. But earlier in this Wednesday game, Kirsten Watson on Sportsnet LA sort of gave a summary of the pregame stuff and was saying that Kershaw was antsy. He was getting antsy about, like, you know, wanting to pitch. Now, they're not going to rush him. Obviously, we talked about last week about how the Dodgers have some off days coming up, so they don't need to rush either guy, and then they don't really need, like, another guy until about 3 weeks from now. You know, maybe one or two of them are ready in about 2 weeks, perhaps. But like, I don't suspect that Kershaw is going to bully his way back onto the roster just like with like limited to no rehab. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. But that's sort of where they're at. So yeah, like I said, pretty decent news. Now, I will say the Tyler Anderson, Tony Gonsolin have been great. And then they've been getting sort of fill in fifth starter Mitch White pitched tonight. He's been okay. He almost got through five innings, allowing only one run, but then he allowed a walk and a 2-run homer in the fifth. So, you know, just sort of what you'd sort of expect from, like, I guess a fifth starter. So they only have to use a fifth starter one more time until one of Kershaw and Heaney are ready. So it's not dire just yet. But so I think they're going to probably take their time with that. But yeah, I do have a Tommy Pham trivia question for you.
All right.
He has three career home runs against the Dodgers. True. Now they've come. You did it. there. So he hit one with as a member of the Cardinals, one with the Rays, and one with the Padres. Can you name the three different pitchers he hit those home runs off of?
I'll guess some names of pitchers that were on the Dodgers.
I will give you the years.
That's not going to help.
Once we get there. It will help.
We'll see. All that after this. All of that. Just that answer. I'm going to answer the question, then the podcast is over. After this.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right. Who are the three pitchers that Tommy Pham hit home runs off of as Dodger pitchers?
Before I give you years, I will say only one of these pitchers is still on the Dodgers.
Okay. Is the pitcher that is still on the Dodgers Clayton Kershaw?
No.
Okay. Is the
I'll give you the years.
All right. Go ahead and give me the years.
Cardinals was 2016.
Okay.
Rays was 2019. Padres was 2020.
Okay.
If it helps, the game against the Padres in 2020, Mookie Betts had three home runs.
That doesn't help.
Not if it brings up, you're like, oh, yeah, so-and-so pitched that day or something. I don't know. Maybe, I didn't know. You never know what your brain's going to trigger.
No. At this point, my memory's gone.
Yep.
Is the pitcher still on the Dodgers, Walker Buehler?
Nope. I'll give you one more hint. I'll give you more, but the
thanks.
Another hint, besides the pitcher on the Dodgers, only one of these pitchers, one of the other two, is still pitching in the majors.
All right. I am going to give myself three more strikes, and then I'm just going to hang up the hat. Kenta Maeda.
No.
Strike.
See, right? We need to add in more sound bites.
Rich Hill.
Bingo on 2019.
Yeah.
Yep. That was looking at this in Tampa, or I guess technically St. Pete. At the Trop.
Hyunjin Ryu.
No.
Okay. So one more strike.
Oh, sorry. Swing and a miss.
That's good.
Oh, before we get into it, have you seen, I will put this in the show notes, but did you see, so Steven Strasburg did a rehab assignment the other day. And there was a clip going around whoever the minor league announcer was, I forgot his name. But he was like using emptied the book on every possible like cliche. He was just like the most over the top. Like he was trying out like every possible line on strikeouts. It was hilarious. I will drop this in the show notes. It's very, very funny.
All right. Last guest, just for fun.
Sorry.
Actually, real quick. Is it a reliever or a starter?
Yep.
Is it a reliever?
They're all starters.
They're all starters. Uh-oh. I had a litany of relievers lined up in my head. So it needs to be, wait, hold on. I said there has to be someone still on the Dodgers. Look at that. Right?
You're one of them still on the Dodgers. Yeah.
But I haven't gotten two yet.
Yeah. One of them pitched last year for a team that's not the Dodgers, but is not, to my knowledge, pitching with anyone this
year. Tony Gonsolin.
An Olympian is the other one. No.
All right. That was my three strikes.
You're out? Okay, so... So 2016 against the Cardinals, Scott Kazmir, who sort of made a comeback last year with... Actually, I'm trying to think. I wanted to double check myself because, like, years run together, very, very much. They're like, okay, no, it was last year that he pitched with the Giants, his first time back in the majors since after 2016, 2020 home run, Julio Urias.
Okay.
So yeah,
I was running out of options for that.
You got Rich Hill. Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, I said all of that after the podcast, but we do have one more segment. Of course, we know what it is.
Yay.
It's time for
with Jens and Craig. We love them.
All right. Craig's got some trivia for you. Are you ready?
We love it. Oh, sorry. I was a little late.
The Mets have only played the Dodgers in their 60-year history at Dodger Stadium. So this week's trivia is about their history at Chavez Ravine. Note that the first three parts are from 1962 to 2021. The last one is in the Jacob/wild card era. You ready?
I just want to point out that you added wild card era.
I want to make sure, there may be new listeners who have no idea what that means.
Craig in his notes just wrote in the Jacob era, but then he defined it 1995 to 2021. So I'm sorry to inform everybody, we're no longer in the Jacob era.
Oh, no.
2022, dunzo. It's no more Jacob era. Sorry, Jacob.
Six Mets.
I hated for you to have to find out this way.
Six Mets have hit six or more home runs in their careers at Dodger Stadium. Who are these guys in blue and orange?
Oh, God. Okay. So let's just go with rolling with the hits here. Daryl Strawberry.
Only five.
What? I'm
strike one.
Irrationally angry right now. Damn it. Hoisted by my own petard. Even though I think his time there was brief, just because I can't remember, one of those three home run games might have been with the Mets. I'm going to go Dave Kingman.
With nine home runs.
Nine. Okay, great. I don't remember. I think the Kingman's performance game was when he was with the Cubs, but I could be wrong on that. But I'm stalling. So what about Howard Johnson?
Nope, strike two.
I just wanted to bring him up to point out that I was obsessed with 30-30 guys in the 80s because people stole a lot back then, and like power speed guys, it was like a huge time in the late 80s for that, and he was one of those guys, and he was really good. And then I the first fantasy league I ever played was in 1991. It was just me and like four or five of my friends, and we had a very rudimentary system. I believe the it was a point system. Every at bat, I remember this, every at bat was minus one, every hit was four. So if you go one for four, it evens out at zero. And then there were points for runs, RBIs, home runs, possibly doubles, and then steals. And just about everyone I drafted that year went from like super productive players to crap, and including Howard Johnson that year. And he just completely fell off the face of the earth. And he was really awesome for a while. But that was just me stalling and not remembering more recent. Let's go with did he play long enough or did he get hurt? Let's just go David Wright.
That's it. So you got one.
Terrible.
I was going to give you a hint of only one of these players is still being paid by the Mets, but I actually don't know if that's true in that Bobby Bonilla. But Piazza is also on this list. And I was like, maybe he might have like some contract with them that I'm not positive about.
No, I'm pretty sure.
I'll look it up. Special assistant.
If he did have a contract with him, then the Dodgers could like withhold payment until he agrees to have his number retired. No, I don't know.
Edgardo Alfonso and Kevin McReynolds.
I almost went with Kevin McReynolds. Damn it! All right.
Five Mets have scored 20 or more runs at Dodger Stadium. Can Eric name these scoring Metropolitans?
Oh, nice. I love the use of Metropolitans there. 20 or more runs, Dodger Stadium. I'm going back to the well, even though I was wrong the first time. Daryl Strawberry.
Daryl Strawberry only had 17, so strike one.
Kevin McReynolds.
Only had 17, strike two.
Janice Ian. That's a fun joke. So I don't know why this is stumping me so much. Like why you know what? I'm going back to the well. Howard Johnson.
Howard Johnson with 23.
Yeah. All right. I don't know why I'm like blocking it. I'll go again though. Let's go Bobby Bonilla.
Bobby Bonilla is not on my list. So you missed. That's fine. Keith Hernandez. Eduardo Alfonso.
Yeah, all right.
Cleon Jones and Mookie Wilson. Mm.
Mookie was in there. I knew it. I didn't know.
On the mound, five Mets starting pitchers have struck out 50 or more Dodgers. Who are these strikeout Metsters?
Metsters. Ooh. So I assume, I don't know the exact numbers, but I assume Tom Seaver has roughly 7,000 strikeouts against the Dodgers.
95, but still, he's a correct guess.
And then Dwight Gooden.
Dwight Gooden, you're going in order so far with 78.
And then let's try to think of like a, what about Ron Darling?
Not on my list.
Sid Fernandez.
Sid Fernandez with 54 for in fourth place.
Okay. Jerry Kuzman
in third place with 60. So you're missing fifth place who has 50 on the dot.
Hmm. Is it? He didn't pitch that well.
And Ron Darling was on my list, but with 28, so still not a correct answer.
Yeah. Okay. I don't. I'm just gonna say Jacob DeGrom.
John Matlack. With 50 on the dot. In the Jacob era, six Mets pitchers have given up five or more home runs against the Dodgers at Chavez Ravine. None of the pitchers play for the current Mets. That's your hint.
Huh. Okay. Well, let's go Zach Wheeler.
Zach Wheeler with five on the dot in two games.
Okay. 95. Al Leiter?
With five. In five games.
Just picking off all the fivers. Let's see. Late Tom Glavine?
Correct. Five home runs in four games.
So I need three more?
Yep.
Oh, boy. This is difficult. What about... Oh, man. Why can't I think of his name? John Neese.
Nope.
Noah Syndergaard?
Nope.
So let's go back to nope, wasn't there long enough. Trying to think in
your ranges are 95 through 96, 95 through 2000, and 2007 to 2010.
So I don't have the 2007 to 2010 one.
Correct.
2007. Hmm. Wait, Pedro?
No. Pedro gave up only three.
Okay, I'm out.
Yep. Pete Harnish? Harnish? Bobby Jones and Ollie Perez.
Bobby M. Jones?
95 to 2000. They tell me.
They had, all right. They had two Bobby Jones around that time.
See if I can give you a. Baseball Reference does not give me middle names. How am I supposed to know the difference, Eric?
Wait, yeah, should.
It just says Bobby Jones. Wait, more info.
Weird.
More info. Born. Full name. No. Robert J. Jones. There you go.
Okay. The other one is Robert Mitchell Jones. And he only pitched 12 games in relief for the Mets. Oh, no. 23 games in relief for the Mets. Two different years.
Before both Muncy and Bellinger went out with some injury issues, Dodgers were approaching the one-third mark of those two players still behind their past performance standard. The Dodgers are still winning, so assuming they are back on the field soon, when does their overall offense stagnation become an issue for the 2022 Dodgers?
It's less with Bellinger. There's sort of factors for both. Bellinger, you don't need as much because of the defense, right? Like he's really, really good in center field. So you take anything close to average, if not better. And he's still, that's a valuable player. Muncy, a little different. It's weird because he's still walking. Now, the issue too with him is you never know what exactly the ball is doing at any given time. And is it a matter of him not adjusting his style, not hitting it as hard, just missing? Because he Bellinger's strikeout rate is up from normal. So that's concerning. Muncy's is not as bad. So it's not like he's getting totally overmatched. He's just having terrible results. Now he says the elbow wasn't affecting, although I think he's just being a little stubborn there. So maybe the reset helps him a little bit. But yeah, I think it gets to the point where, look back at 2020, right? It was kind of the same thing. I think he ended up hitting 190 something overall, but obviously he was walking a lot and he was super patient. And then during the playoffs, he was basically really good. And especially at lengthening the lineup, taking a lot of pitches and just making it very, very difficult. Totally. Now it gets to a point where, and they started doing this the last week or so, but you don't have to start Muncy batting fourth or fifth every day, if it gets to that, but they're certainly going to get a lot of rope. But yeah, I think they're going to probably take as much time as he needs to sort of rest and get a reset on the elbow. So, but you're still looking at they'll know by mid-July, the All-Star break, basically. And then at that point, I don't think it's necessarily panic button, but then if it's at a point where neither one of those guys are still producing, maybe they're more aggressive, getting an offensive player at the trade deadline or something like that, just to bring in an extra bat and figure out what to do with it after that. But yeah, I don't think it's necessarily panic mode or anything like that.
The NBA Finals start on Thursday, and while it isn't essential viewing for myself, I don't want the Celtics to win their 18th NBA championship this year. I was trying to think of another team in any other sport where I feel this way, and I can't think of ones that I not want to win a specific championship beside the Boston Celtics. Do you two have any teams that you are happy when they are eliminated from winning the title in their sport?
I think Notre Dame should disband as a college. No, it's not that bad. But, yeah, I don't want Notre Dame to ever win, ever. I think they are worse. They're further along the spectrum than the Celtics. But, yeah, I will note, and Craig noted he didn't want the Celtics to win their 18th NBA championship this year. I don't want them to ever win their 18th NBA championship. So just to clear that up. But, yeah, Celtics never. They're out.
The Tom Brady Patriots were this team for me for a very, very long time, but that ship's kind of sailed. He's just won so much. What's another? It's another drop in the bucket at this point. Whether it's the Patriots or now the Bucks. And other than that, not really. The Giants kind of, I guess, would probably be the closest. But I don't know. I ain't got time to be dwelling in negativity.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. It's to a point, right? I'm not sitting over here oh my God, the Celtics can't win or else it's going to be terrible. if they win, whatever, just to give you an idea that, so I think part of it was because 2009 was also when I started blogging full time at True Blue LA, or not. I was still working at the time, but I was also writing every day. And so I don't know if it was just like lack of time to like commit to basketball. I was still like following the Lakers and stuff, but they won the championship that year against the Orlando Magic in the finals. And I was watching it at my nephew's house, game five. And then I remember I didn't feel anything when they won. I was just like, oh, okay. And then I was like, oh, is this it now? Like, you know, like, is this how it's going to be? Fast forward to the next year, 2010, when they play the Celtics, who they had lost to the 2 years before. And they won that game in game seven, a very tight, very ugly game seven. And I literally did the Toyota, oh, what a feeling jump at the end of that game when they were going to win. So the Celtics rekindled my lust for a championship, apparently. But yeah, like it's this, I don't know, it was seemingly involuntary just how it happened, but it made me laugh because I was thinking about it. So yeah, that's where the Celtics are for me.
Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman have been first and second in runs scored for the Dodgers in both April and May in 2022. For the contest, one of you can have Betts and Freeman in runs scored in June, and the other one will get the next three Dodgers plus Austin Barnes. For just the past month, Betts scored 31 runs and Freeman was second with 20. The next three were Lux, Taylor, and Trey Turner with 48 scored between them. Austin Barnes scored 8 runs in May to give them 56 runs. So again, Betts and Freeman, or the next three run scorers and Barnes.
I will let you choose if you want.
I will take... thinking. I'm going to take Betts and Freeman.
All right. Well, I guess I'm going to also take... No, I'm just kidding. I'll take the next... What if we just blew up the system? No, that's creative. I like it. All right.
Final question. Friday is National Donut Day, so this week's food question is, if you could only have one style of donut for the rest of your life, would it be a raised donut, like a classic glazed version, a cake donut, like those frosted with sprinkles, an old-fashioned or buttermilk style, or the jelly-filled donut? For myself, I choose an old-fashioned because some glazed donuts are a little too sweet.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Donuts. So my favorite... the old fashions are really good. I love them, but my favorite is a vanilla cruller.
Sure.
Or is it cruller?
Yeah. I think cruller is what I say.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it's cruller when they run out. So maple bars are up there. They're really good.
Yeah.
I go either way. Like I think I like the cream filled more than jelly, but also I like lemon filled too. Like they're all great, right? Like it's just like this, obviously it's a sugar bomb, but like, yeah, the cruller is the best for me. I was never like the cake donuts are okay, but they don't hit the same. They're not as like light and fluffy as the cruller or the maple bar or even the old fashioned. Like it's just a better consistency for me. I'm trying to think. I'm certain I'm like probably missing a type, but like, yeah, that's where I'm at.
So the sort of local donut shop here in Lawrence, Munchers, their specialty is both a cream cheese and a strawberry cream cheese, where it's just a square and it's filled. It is frosted with a cream cheese frosting, but then it's filled with the cream cheese frosting as well. That is really spectacular. So that whatever that is may end up taking my cake. I have to give a shout out to Blue Star Donuts in Portland, which their apple fritter was one of the best things I've ever had.
Apple fritters are wonderful.
Yeah.
I love apple.
And this had like, it was almost like an apple cider fritter that like just had this kind of like brightness to it. It was just really, really good.
You mentioned the one donut that was square, and it got me thinking about Wendy's hamburgers for some reason.
Sure.
Now I've never been like a fan of like it's. I guess it's more like a fair food or something where you basically someone has like a donut burger where the donuts are the bun. Like that's too much for me. Yeah. Like it's like those probably things shouldn't be combined. I will eat a hamburger and a donut like together, but not together together. You know, like that's too much. But that made me think like how hilarious that would be. You're like, well, we got these square patties from Wendy's. Let's jam them together. Oh, see what we got. But
that's our episode.
Yeah. I love it. Go out there, eat a dozen donuts. Enjoy. By the time you're listening to this, the Dodgers won't have to play the Pirates nor the Phillies anymore this year. So celebrate with a dozen donuts.
Until they face the Pirates in the NLCS.
Well, yeah, no question, obviously. but yeah, well, we'll talk to you next week with our NLCS preview, Dodgers versus Pirates. Thanks for listening, everybody.